This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, July 17th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear how the U.S. is behind other countries in terms of making toys and other products safe. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. A Champaign Unit 4 school board member says she's looking forward to hearing input about the future of the city's schools from the community and not just other school board members. Tonight, Christine Shalafu will attend a meeting where the school district's vision committee and its working groups will present a plan for improvements to Champaign schools. The community members who serve on the working groups have been discussing infrastructure, programming, and community involvement in Champaign schools since last fall. Shalafu says one of the working groups wants Unit 4 to add a planner who would advise the district on the upkeep and renovations of buildings.
That's something much more comprehensive, of course, than what these groups can be doing. And it's something our district doesn't have. And I think it's a wonderful idea. Of course, it's another staff person, so how we do that would need to be considered.
The final draft of the plan will be submitted to the Champaign School Board in September. The plan is expected to include recommendations for both new buildings and improvements to existing ones, with an eye on classroom technology and greater energy efficiency. Tonight's meeting begins at 7 at the University of Illinois Beckman Institute and is open to the public. The Illinois House has voted to reverse about $480 million in budget cuts imposed by Governor Rod Blagojevich. However, there's little chance the money will ever reach the hospital's drug abuse programs and mental health services for which it's earmarked. That's because the cuts will take effect unless the Senate concurs with the House action. Senate President Emil Jones says the state can't afford to put money back into the budget, but others say Blagojevich used the cuts to inflict political pain on his opponents. They say he should be forced to find other ways to balance the budget, such as across-the-board cuts. Nearly $1 billion in other budget cuts are also on track to take effect, creating a major squeeze for state services from parks to prisons to colleges. Some called the Illinois House action Wednesday an exercise in futility, but others saw a political motive, as Sean Crawford reports.
Democratic House Speaker Mike Madigan allowed dozens of the governor's budget reductions to come up for a vote, even though it was clear that in most cases the money would never actually be restored. However, don't call it a defeat for Madigan. Effingham area Republican David Rice says the speaker got what he wanted.
Madigan wants his people to be able to go home and tell all these groups that, hey, I voted to restore your funding. You know, blame the Republicans or blame Senate President Jones or blame the governor. He's just trying to get the monkey off his back, and it's unfortunate. We need to be fair.
Rice voted against putting money back in the budget because he says there was no additional revenue added to pay for it. Rice says while Governor Blagojevich made the spending cuts, Democrats in the House and Senate should share blame as they approved a budget that was unbalanced and forced the governor's hand. I'm Sean Crawford.
A dozen Champaign City officials are headed to the Quad Cities today to take a look at residential projects in and around downtown areas. City planner T.J. Blakeman says the four city council members and eight city staffers will visit two building conversions in Moline and Rock Island that provide new places for people to live downtown.
There is a residential project. It's a rehab project of the old Moline High School. It's a loft project that we will be taking a look at. And there is a condo project that's going into downtown Rock Island that we'll also be taking a look at called the McKesson Building.
Blakeman says the McKesson Building is a former warehouse that's of particular interest because its renovation uses environmentally sustainable techniques. He says city officials will also see other downtown residential projects in Moline and Rock Island. Reviving downtown as a place to live is a longstanding goal for Champaign officials. Blakeman says people who live downtown also shop there. If they also work downtown, they can walk to work, cutting down on traffic. Champaign Council members Tom Bruno, Deb Finan, Karen Foster, and Marcy Dodds have signed up for the Quad Cities trip. Council members took a similar trip to West Lafayette last year. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley says he was unaware of the governor's suggestion of bringing in Illinois State Police troopers or even National Guard to help Chicago fight a recent increase in violence. A Daley spokeswoman says the administration welcomes partnerships, but they don't have all the facts. The Chicago Police Department agreed. Governor Rod Blagojevich says he'll meet with state police, National Guard, and other officials to discuss the options. The governor didn't have any many specifics, but says it's more likely that state police will be brought in than that the National Guard troops. Blagojevich also says there are a lot of retired Chicago police officers and state police troopers who could be rehired for the summer. Illinois is making overtures to land what's being touted as a groundbreaking project, a power plant that burns coal without emitting pollutants. Some say it will also save consumers money. Amanda Vinicky has more on a measure approved yesterday by the Illinois House.
A Nebraska-based company, Tenaska, chose Taylorville in central Illinois as its prime spot. The company wants to build a mega plant there to produce electricity by burning the state's coal, then using new technology to sequester the harmful carbon dioxide underground instead of emitting it into the air. However, Tenaska says the venture's so new and expensive, it wants Illinois to guarantee that utilities will buy the power it produces. The measure approved by the Illinois House clears the way. Critics have doubts, but advocates like Kurt Granberg, a House Democrat from Carlisle, say it's a total boon.
Create 1,500 jobs, 400 permanent jobs, good-paying jobs, not service industry jobs. It's environmentally friendly, no pollution.
The measure failed to pass the House in May, but was revived during the House's special session after utility giant Commonwealth Edison came on board. The Senate's expected to next take up the measure in November. If it goes forward, the plant won't be built for another 6 years. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Commuters who can't find a seat on Chicago Transit Authority rapid transit trains at rush hour will soon be having a lot more company. However, an experiment announced yesterday, the CTA plans to remove all the seats on some cars of rush hour trains to jam in more riders who otherwise would be left behind on rail platforms. CTA President Ron Huberman says the standing room only cars will begin operating within a few months, probably starting on the Brown Line. As many as 90 riders can sit or stand in each car on most CTA train cars. By yanking out seats and eliminating the aisle, an additional 25 to 50 passengers could be crammed in. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. News about dangerous chemicals in toys, cosmetics, and cleaning products has a lot of Americans spending extra money. People want to make sure they're choosing things that are safe for their families. Julie Grant reports that other countries are ahead of the U.S. in efforts to improve the safety of all products.
So you might expect the government has tested all those chemicals to make sure they're safe, but you'd be wrong. Daryl Ditz is senior policy advisor at the Center for International Environmental Law. He says the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has never assessed the hazards of most chemicals used in everyday products.
That means EPA doesn't know, and you and I don't know which materials on the shelves are more dangerous and which are less.
Ditt says only a few hundred chemicals have been thoroughly tested by the U.S. government, but there are 80,000 chemicals used in products on the market. In the U.S., the EPA has to prove a chemical is harmful to keep it off the market. Dorothy Bryan is shopping at this upscale toy store in Northeast Ohio. She's got three grandkids. She's looking at an organic cotton bunny, colorful wooden blocks, and of course, Thomas the Tank Engine. She pays more for toys at this store than she would at the big box retailer, but Brian says they're worth it.
They're not toxic. That's the big part. They're not the plastic toxic things that I purchase, usually the wooden toys. The little one puts everything in his mouth.
But most kids' toys are made of plastic, and lots of plastics are made with phthalates. It makes them pliable. But phthalates are endocrine disruptors. They're gender bender chemicals that make girls develop earlier and reduce testosterone levels in boys. That's why California has banned the use of some phthalates in toys. So have Japan and the European Union. But Daryl Ditz, chemical expert at the Center for International Environmental Law, says regulators in the U.S. don't have much power to ban phthalates or other chemicals. Chemicals here are innocent until proven guilty.
That is, companies can sell virtually anything in a product or in a barrel unless it's been proven to be dangerous.
But other countries are starting to take the opposite approach. Ditt says the European Union is rolling out a new set of laws that make chemicals guilty until proven innocent.
They're putting the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of the chemical makers, as opposed to having the environmental authorities look for a needle in the haystack. they're saying this should be the responsibility of the companies who make these materials.
Under the EU law, manufacturers will have to study and report the risks posed by each chemical, whether they cause cancer, birth defects, or environmental problems. The Bush administration and chemical manufacturers tried to block the European law, but they couldn't. Ditt says leaders in the chemical makers trade group are now running around like their hair is on fire. They're worried the cost to comply could be in the tens of millions of dollars for some companies that export chemicals to Europe. But many individual companies have already started to comply with the law. Walter van Hethoff is spokesperson for Dow Chemical in Europe. He says cataloging Dow's 7,000 chemicals is a huge effort, but they don't have a choice.
You need to comply, otherwise you cannot sell them anymore in the European Union.
There are a half billion consumers in the EU, and Dow wants to keep them. Dow and other manufacturers might have to reformulate or even abandon some chemicals if the EU decides they're unsafe. While the U.S. is not considering a comprehensive chemical review like Europe's new laws, about 30 states are considering new regulations on chemicals and toys. The Toy Industry Association doesn't want a patchwork of laws, so it's calling for national toy safety standards. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly sunny today with a high around 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, the low around 68, mostly sunny Friday with a high around 92. Partly cloudy Friday night, the low around 68. More sun Saturday, mostly sunny skies, the high around 90. Saturday night through Monday, mostly cloudy skies, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Monday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, the low around 68 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, July 17th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.